this section is a break time for people to go and do whatever you'd like to do. But for those of you who have questions on anything we've talked about this morning, I want to give you the opportunity to do that. And then we can open it up to anybody who wants to just have a conversation with people. So if there are any further questions about anything we've addressed so far today.
Minnesota Judy.
Hello. I wanted to tell people, you know, Ellen told us all these wonderful things that we can invest in from the independence market. But one of the things that I know I've thought about would be how nice it would be if we could just go to a store and get some of this stuff. And so I thought people would be interested to know, Ellen mentioned one of the games that we have at the independence market is Uno. And if that's a game that you would like to share with your grandchildren, Target now sells it. They worked with the NFB to develop a Braille and print version of Uno. And supposedly they have it at all their markets. I know I bought mine from Target, and it was so much fun to be able to get that from a store.
Wow.
Just a regular. That's what I wanted to share.
Excellent.
We have the 303 again.
Okay.
But some Legos now have Braille on them, too.
There's probably quite a few that are 303, no? If that's the first digits. I don't know.
Raise my hand.
Hello?
Great time to go ahead.
Yes, 303, Colorado.
Yes.
June A. Mason.
Okay, June.
I am a Braille reader, but also a talking book listener. I have a digital talking book player.
Mm-hmm.
And the information on knitting and other information, will I be able to get this in Braille?
Yes. What we'll do is put it on a thumb drive, and so we can send you a thumb drive that you can use with your NLS player. On the side of your NLS player, there is a slot for you to put in a thumb drive. And if you do not have a cartridge in your NLS player, when you put it on play, it will then read what's on the thumb drive.
Okay, mm-hmm. I'm at my NLS player now, madam, and there is, I understand that there is a rectangular or long squared jack on the side of the DL of the digital layer. What is that for to be? Is that for the thumb drive or what?
I'm going to go to mine right now, too, because I want to make sure that we're looking at the same thing.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yes, when you go from on the right-hand side of your player,
okay.
It's sort of an indented, and it's maybe about a quarter of an inch, maybe a little more than that, maybe half an inch, and that is where the thumb drive would go.
Interesting. Now, I've heard and read about that, okay?
Yes.
I have.
But you have to take your cassette, your cartridge out of the machine, because otherwise it'll read the cartridge. So, but you can take the cartridge out, but put it on play, and it will play what's on your thumb drive.
And I don't have to have email or computer?
No, you do not. You do not.
I see.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, and I'm speaking to, by the way, I'm sorry.
Ruth. I am Ruth from Baltimore. Ruth Sager from Baltimore.
Oh,
yes.
Okay.
No, that's fine. That's
thank
fine.
You.
So you will have it in a format that you can use.
Okay. Thank you. Ever
You're welcome.
So
are there any other questions from anyone, from anywhere?
Seeing hands right now, so let's see.
You do not see any hands.
Not at the moment.
Boy, 816 is raised. Judy is raised.
Okay.
iPad 82 and Buddy.
Let's see if we can get Buddy because his hand was raised before.
Just go in and mute them, Abby.
And then
take them in turn.
Yeah, just unmute those people and then we'll.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
I was the person who asked the question about arcing the cane. I understand about how to arc on the side that of the hand that you're holding the cane, but I don't understand how you figure out how far you've traveled across your path on the opposite side of your body. Could someone clarify that for me, please? Thank you.
Jerry, you here? Jerry.
Are cane people here? Otherwise, I mean, I can answer.
You go. I would say that I think the tip about using the doorway was a good, but go ahead.
It is. I think if you're standing erect, okay, and you have the cane in your dominant hand, and you do put it, I think centering the cane is very helpful. So to put it in front of your stomach area, you're not going to keep it there. I mean, you are going to keep it a few inches in front of your stomach, but just so your arm is comfortable, your elbow should be kind of down at your side comfortably. And then the front of your hand with your palm up is going to hold the cane about your stomach area. And I would say, however far you keep your feet apart, most people keep their feet about 6 to 8 inches apart, because if you get them too close together, your balance isn't as stable. So however, and it may depend on how tall you are. I think taller people probably spread their feet further apart because they're taller. So if you're a shorter person, maybe you keep your feet maybe 6 inches apart or something like that. Whatever works good for you. So you're going to go, you're going to arc your cane left and right, and it's going to go past your shoulders, which probably is, I think, another 6 to 8 inches. I think it's going to be, when I'm swinging my cane, I'm about 5'5". I probably swing my cane between 16 and 18 inches, probably 18 inches, really, because I want to know what's on either side of me. So I think you'll get what feels comfortable in your hand and what you're feeling around you. If I'm in an uncertain area, or if I'm on carpeting where I don't have the sound cues that I would otherwise have, I might arc it even wider, you know, especially if I'm looking for stairs or something. So it may depend upon your environment as well.
So you're using sound to determine how far your cane is arcing?
Yes, I am, and the echo that I'm getting or not getting.
Everybody talks about echoes. I don't hear them.
Okay. Well, then you may have to depend more on if you have a cane. One thing we didn't mention this morning too is with a metal tip. Some canes, especially if they're folding canes, may not have a metal tip to them. And the metal tip really does give you a better, I think, sound feedback. In other words, when that metal tip hits something, it's going to give more sound than certainly a rubber tip or some other type of material, which is why we like that metal tip on the end of the cane. It also can glide over some obstacles as well. So, yes, go ahead, Jerry.
Yeah, I missed the first part of the question. I guess I had stepped away a second.
She was asking about how far to arc the cane and, you know, to be safe on either side of you. And I kind of pointed out that it may depend upon how far your feet are apart, which is comfortable for you to walk.
Right, yeah.
And then it may depend upon the terrain in which you're walking in.
Yeah, and shoulder width is a standard mm-hmm. guideline, but a lot of people, there are some people that want it
right.
wider than that. So
wider than that, yeah, and that's okay.
And
probably do go past my shoulders. When I've got my cane in my hand now, and I'm standing by my sink just to, because I've got a wide space here. I would say that the tip of my cane probably goes out another 8 or 10 inches from my shoulders. And as I get older, that's comfortable for me if I have my druthers. Now,
metal,
if I'm in a crowd, I might not be quite as wide. But because I'm not as good with balance as I used to be, I do probably arc my cane wider than somebody who may be better with balance. So that may be another factor.
Ruth, that was not my question. That was not my question. My question was, how do you tell how far your cane has moved to the offside? I cannot tell how far my cane has gone when I'm moving it back and forth. I can't hear it the way that you apparently hear yours.
I can't hear it. Okay.
Well, it's not so much a hearing thing as much as it is a feeling thing.
Feeling. Okay.
And it depends. The length of it has a lot to do with it as well, because a lot of times people have a little fear. Steps, you're really trying to find your edge of where you're walking. So as far as the sound goes, I'm not sure that I necessarily pay attention. I mean, I guess I hear the sound because it doesn't sound like you're lifting the cane. It sounds like you're moving it.
I'm using constant contact.
Right, constant contact. And so granted, the metal tip does provide some texture identification, but really it's mostly just feeling the ground that you're moving it back and forth, and that you're comfortable with. There's no real magic art here other than what you're comfortable with. And as long as you're feeling safe as you're moving, even speed doesn't really matter so much as do you have a long cane or are you using a folding cane?
I have both. And I am used both. I use the folding cane when I travel. But it doesn't matter how I feel, whether I feel safe or not. I need to know that I'm covering my path appropriately.
How about using a doorway? Wouldn't that be the standing outside?
Well, I don't really have a doorway that I can use the way my house is configured. I can't really use the doorway to the outdoors, and the interior doorways are larger than normal. So they aren't an appropriate gauge for a cane. I can't tell, you know, from them whether or not I'm reaching an appropriate swing on my cane, and I don't have a corner that isn't uncluttered.
I guess I'm not understanding exactly what you're completely after. When you're walking...
Maybe the wrist motion. She's trying to figure out maybe the wrist motion to make sure she's protected on the left and right.
Yeah, I mean, you could certainly stand the cane up, as opposed to having it, because if you're inside, you're definitely going to want to choke up on it, like we talked earlier about a pencil grip. And you could touch the cane to your foot. To the tip of your foot, your toe, you can tap it depending on if you have neuropathy or not, but if you touch your, you can physically touch your foot, then know that that's where that edge is and then slide it to the other side where your other foot is. Then you have a gauge of the width of where you're swinging that cane. So then you want to be about an inch or two outside of that. And then you can gauge your swinging motion from that.
That isn't helpful. No, it doesn't help.
When
I'm walking, because, sir, I don't use the pencil grip when I'm walking, unless I'm in a congested area. I need to know how far to swing the cane and how to determine how I'm swinging the cane when I'm out walking in a shopping area or something.
But you need a shoreline. A shoreline is one aspect of knowing one of your boundaries, so that you know where that edge is. So then you know if you're on the right side, you know that your right foot is up against the right boundary. So that's on the right side for sure. Then you have to swing it across to the other side, reach. I mean, there's no way without some type of barrier to know how far you're reaching it.
Well, that's what I was asking. It sounded like that there was, and I wasn't understanding it.
There's no 100% method for swinging it to that other side. If you can't gauge it with your foot, then you have to reach it far enough, depending on how long your cane is. If it comes to your nose or your chin, then it's long enough in front of you and reaching it out to your left side. Without another boundary on the other side, there's no way. You're just going to have to guess and trial and error. There's no 100% science here on how to gauge that arc on that side.
Yeah, Larry Carlson.
Hi, this is Larry Carlson, Las Vegas, Nevada. The state of Nevada taught me how to do the sweeping method as far as using my cane. So I guess I'm in constant contact. I may be jumping the gun here, but my question is right turning cars coming out of a street, not necessarily, you know, like out of a driveway. I'm on a major street and I'm walking against traffic. And as a car is coming out, there's been a couple of times when it was pretty close. My cane actually was hit and they failed to stop. My question is, are we going to cover this down the road, or is this an appropriate time to ask this question now? I don't want to jump the gun, but it's the only problem I seem to be really having with mobility is right turning cars. They don't see me. I can see the blob, and sometimes I can see some motion inside the car. So I'm mistaking it for it's okay to go. And as I start to step, then they go, and I can't tell what's coming at me. And you know, I'm putting myself in harm's way, so to speak. So I'm just wondering if there's a technique, a method, or and maybe I jumped the gun, and we're going to cover this later on. In which case, I'm fine with that too.
I'm sure that it's going to be discussed later in the week, but I mean, now as you have the immediate question, I know we have about 25 minutes left, so I'm not sure if we want to wait to...
No, answer the question, because I think
One method is what you're talking about, a right-hand turning car. Granted, you're probably standing in a crosswalk, and granted...
No, I'm on a sidewalk.
You're on a sidewalk, but you should be...
You're coming out of a business or, you know, that sort of thing.
You're crossing...
Crosswalks, I don't know problem with. It's when they come out of a business, you know, a driveway, that sort of thing. You know, I stop like we're supposed to, and I look and I don't see any blobs, so I move on. And when I do see the blob there, then I stop and I can kind of see motion, you know, and I can't tell if they're telling me to go or not, you know, because sometimes they'll sit there and they'll, you know, I won't go because I'm not, you know, I don't know. But then there are times when I'm almost positive they said, come on. And as I start to go, then they go. And in one case, I had to try and find my cane because they took my cane with them. You know, I got lodged in something in their car, I guess. And last week, my cane got knocked out of my hand, you know, and I was able to find it real quick. But I mean, it was, you know, that's my problem. I'm getting concerned. I'm not getting scared to the point that I'm not going to go back out. But, you know, I want to avoid that interaction with a car because clearly I'm going to lose, if, you know.
Yeah, so I think one thing you definitely want to do is to be confident about your choice. I don't know if you know this technique or not, but you can take your right hand and you can point your four fingers at that car. And then you can draw a line across your body that basically says, you go. You want to take control of the situation. You do not want to let somebody else tell you what to do because of that exact concern that you just had right there. Because you don't know what's coming and going. I mean, as far as your cane going out there, when you decide to make that decision to move with confidence. Don't be hesitating because the car is watching you to make a decision. And once you make that decision, go with confidence when you're crossing that street and have your cane definitely out in front of you. And I mean, there's no perfect. You don't want to get a cane run over, but it happens. But you'd rather the cane get run over than you.
No, absolutely.
Certainly. I hope that helps a little bit.
Yeah, that helps a little bit. I mean, you know, I gotta get better at this. Is, you know, just that's my problem. I, you know, as far as confidence anywhere else, I'm okay with it. It's just that's the real issue is these right turners, you know, cause they don't look, you know, they're not looking right. They're looking left. And when they see that clearing in traffic, they're going. And it's only when they start to go that it's like, you know, they stop, they do that stutter stop and it's, you know, that's when you know that they saw you, and I can't tell that they saw me before then. And that's where I'm kind of, you know, because I can gesture all I want, but I'm not seeing, you know, I can't really tell. You know, I mean, I can tell it's a car and I can tell that there's somebody in there, but I can't beyond that tell you what they're doing, whether they're giving me the bird or waving me to go on. And that's, you know, my concern is I don't want to get hit, but, you know, I also don't want to have to stand there, you know, because like in Las Vegas, it can get up to 118 degrees here, and I don't want to be standing there melting in my shoes either.
Well, thanks for your question. And please tune in the rest of the week. I'm sure that this will come up again, and we'll have more ideas how to help you. It seemed like there's a bunch of hands.
I think sometimes you can also, just by listening to the car engine, kind of determine what people are doing. But when in doubt, right, take charge. And even if you have to say hey or say something so that you know they're looking at you and do your gesture, my would be to let them go, you know, and sometimes I want them to go because I don't know what's behind them or whatever. I want to be sure that when I'm crossing, I have free space to do it.
And I think that's one of the mm-hmm. concerns too, is that you're using your limited vision that, and there again, that could be interfering with your non-visual skill. And so you really, it's very hard when you have the partially sighted have a little more challenge because, and that's why we teach with sleep shades sometimes to get that confidence in the non-visual skill because you don't know how to, I mean, it's very difficult because you can't really depend on your vision and you don't know, but as you're listening and understanding how to cross streets non-visually, you'll be confident about your movement.
Okay, we got a few folks here. We got 470-612.
Judy?
Go ahead, Judy.
Yes, I would like to address the question that the lady asked about the cane arc, how she knows how wide her cane arc is. Is she still on?
Well, she's muted, but go ahead and address.
She's muted.
Okay, well, that's good, but I think I have something that might really help. So, okay, because I also use a cane. Imagine that you're standing there, you've got your cane in the proper position, you've got your arms centered at your body, and let's just think about that position. Think about that as 12 o'clock, okay? You're facing 12 o'clock, the center of your body is 12 o'clock, and as you imagine your cane when you're using it, imagine arcing it to maybe 11 o'clock and 1 o'clock, 11 o'clock, or 10 o'clock and 2 o'clock, you know, but that, if you think about the clock that way, then that might help you to know how far you're arcing. And as far as clearing your shoulders, it's a good idea to kind of clear a little bit, but it, then again, it's going to depend on, you know, where you are and how crowded it is, but how you can tell how far you're arcing your cane. When your cane is angled at about the 10 o'clock level, you're going to be clearing the left shoulder, and at about the 2 o'clock level, you will be certainly clearing your right shoulder. And if you arc like from the center of your body, if you arc at to 11 o'clock to 1 o'clock, you know, that's a shorter arc, but that's going to give you, you know, that's going to give you some coverage. So if you think about it from that reference point, I'm hoping that that helps.
I think that's a good suggestion.
Okay, I didn't see him. Yeah. Wayne is here, so.
That's a great suggestion. And, you know, another thing to think about, too, in the type of method that we work with, all of us are obviously smarter than any of us. So we as a group, we certainly have a lot of different ways to add things. But structured discovery deals a lot with a lot of problem solving and trial and error. So we can kind of give you a guideline for that. And that clock thing was a really good suggestion, but it really is going to take a lot of practice.
Wayne, did you have a comment, sir? I'm sorry, I didn't see you turn on.
Oh, no, that's okay. I was just back on the...
Okay.
She
was really concerned about arcing, covering her field. Of...
And I saw that with the arcing, and that's one thing that we addressed before. And sometimes, you know, if people just don't know where your shoulders start and where that ends, you know, non-visually, it's kind of hard to tell. And Robert had mentioned using the doorway as an example. And it becomes like muscle memory after a while, knowing that and having that type of spatial awareness within yourself, knowing the boundaries of your own body. So that's something that we can't figure out for you because we're different. We're different width, different heights, different sizes. And so you have to know where your body ends and begins from shoulder to shoulder. But certainly, I would say 10 to 2 is pretty wide. I like the 11 to 1 a little better. But, you know, you have to figure that out and what works for you and try not to do the car wiper blade thing, you know, going so wide left and so wide right that people are jumping out of the way.
Yeah.
You know, in order to determine your shoulder length. I mean, you know, even hip to hip, shoulder to shoulder, and that's something that you have to kind of figure out for yourself. But certainly using that as a guideline, the 11 to 1, or in a doorway, stand in the doorway and go left to right, left to right. You don't really want to be any wider than that, or else you're impeding someone else's walkway.
I had a thought, what if you were standing, so you have your cane in the center and you put your right foot forward and then you move it over or just to the right of your shoe as a way of...
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, everyone's got their own technique. We got quite a few other questions here.
470. You put your, if someone says put your left hand out right alongside of your, out from your shoulder and come from your right and touch it and go back and touch it and go back. I mean, but you have to ultimately be aware of yourself.
470. It's Les from Georgia. Two things. If she doesn't have a door wide enough, this may sound funny, she could get into the tub with her cane and get the distance there. That's what the average is. Or a walk-in shower. Or take two boxes of cereal and put them on the floor. Or the other thing is put her wrist against the right side of her belly and just move her wrist with her cane, and that will give her her proper distance of her feet. The other thing, the guy with the car... When I have that problem, I take my cane, I hold it directly out in front of me, I take my finger and thumb and point at the guy, and then I wave him on, and that's it. That's the best way to do it. Don't depend on a driver because they can't see any better than we do.
All right.
Oh, yeah.
4685, number ending in 4685, 612.
Oh, hello. My name is June O'Gara. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, okay. I'm from Minnesota here, and I was just, well, one reason was I was trying to raise my hand on Sunday, and my number was not recognized at all. So I was just testing that, but I also wanted to find out about, someone was talking about using a flash drive in a machine, and I wanted to know what type of machine or a little, is it a handheld type, like a tape recorder or?
No. Yeah, what it is the Library of Congress. If you are using, books from the Library of Congress, you are issued a audio player, which the government issues to you, and you borrow it for life. And mm-hmm. then you can get receive books from your state library for the blind and physically handicapped.
Okay, I do have one of those, and yes. I didn't know that you could put flash drives in them. So.
You can. On the right-hand side, you have a jack for headphones and for, I don't know if there's another one, and beyond that, further up on the machine, on the right-hand side, there's a little slit about half an inch long, and that's where the thumb drive would go. You just can't have the book in at the same time because then it'll read the book. So you have to take right. your book out. But if you put it on play without the book in it, it will read the thumb drive.
And there's one other thing that's I wanted right. to add to that was that mm-hmm. if you call your library for the blind, they can send you free of charge a device you can put in that side because that thumb drive is going to poke out of that side. And uh-huh. so they can give you something that will make it flush, and doesn't cost you anything. You just have to call and request. And they also will send out where you can actually connect the cartridge to the computer, so you can, because people buy those cartridges and put stuff on those cartridges. They'll actually give you a female-to-male cord to connect it. Right. That's based on request as well.
Okay, 703. Area code 703.
Those digital players, just an FYI with those digital players, you can use those and load other things onto a thumb drive and play it through there, such as audio described movies and music.
Yep, they have the technical capability to do that, get MP3s and other
right.
files. But 703, go ahead.
Yeah, is it 5963?
Yeah, you're doing 703. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, actually, I was trying to lower my hand, and I don't know the command. It raises my hand, but it won't lower it. But I was going to speak to the right-hand turn, and I will for just a minute, because I had a similar incident where I was nearly hit. I was standing on a corner where there was no car sitting there turn right, and a group of students got out of school and came and stood to the left of me. When the light changed, I proceeded across the street and had gotten into the street, and a car that was trying to make the light before it changed, sped, made a right turn, and the students were blocking the vision. The driver could not see me in the intersection. So what I learned is that I always stand way to the left, never have another person to the left of me. I swing my cane wider to the left into the intersection. But in a congested area or at rush hour or where there might be the kind of situation I got into, I would rather go three ways around the intersection than cross where somebody could be making a speeding right turn. So sometimes if I don't feel super safe, I will literally cross to the left and then cross again and cross again to get to the corner I want to go to. Huh. I also give my cane a good swing out slightly in the air before I proceed into an intersection where I would be having somebody coming on the right. Okay, that's all I wanted to say. Thank you.
This is Buddy.
Yeah, go ahead, sir.
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. I'm new to walking with the cane, and mm-hmm. If I run into an obstacle that like stairs going up or a curb mm-hmm. or something up, that's easy to find. But if it's going down, like I'm reaching the end of the sidewalk and now that it suddenly goes down where the curb is, that's mm-hmm. hard to feel in the cane. Is that just a matter of experience and time before you begin to feel that?
Maybe a better tip would work for you. I don't know. What kind of tip do you have?
I think it's called fingertip. It's like the shape of an index finger, and it's
nylon.
Oh, yeah. Those are harder to get information from. The nylon fingertip and the ball are harder to get information from. But I don't know if you were on earlier when I mentioned that your cane, when it leaves the surface, it will then hit the shaft. And if you just practice with that, it does take some getting used to. But if you just was to go outside and do that a few times, run your cane off the curb and feel how it connects with the shaft. And it would even vibrate and give you a different type of feel from the tip versus the shaft. And tap on that and feel, because when your cane leaves the surface, it's just airborne, but then it connects on the shaft. The shaft will hit the edge of the curb, and you'll feel that. And it'll start rubbing on the shaft versus the tip of the cane.
Okay, I'll pay attention to that.
Yeah,
thank
that's
you.
Just really, just try to be very conscious of that. And the more you are conscious of these different occurrences, the more familiar you become with it, and then it becomes like kind of automatic. You go, oh, this is a stair, this is a step, this is a curve. curb, and you'll feel that. Just like when you're shorelining and you come across the corner of a wall, again, your cane will start, you'll feel this, the shaft, that corner will start to hit the shaft. The tip will no longer hit the wall, but they start hitting the shaft. And those are just things that you become familiar with when you use your cane a lot.
All right, Shelly, go ahead with your question, please.
Hey, hi, it's Shelly Koppel. As you're tapping very definitely with your cane tip, you're going to get to the point where it's just going to feel like it falls off the edge of the curb. And that's kind of a clue that you're possibly at the end of the street. The other one is if you're walking along the side of the building, you'll feel air where there's no longer a building or something blocking your way. Could even just be bushes and houses, but there'll be an air. And if you're listening to cars, if you happen to walk on a street where there's cars, you can sometimes kind of second guess that you're getting closer to the curb. So therefore you can kind of start looking for that curb at that point. Another thing on the comment that Ruth had made about the book player. Now I've noticed that sometimes to find the, USB port on the side, there's a little tiny piece of plastic that has to be removed from the machine to find exactly where that USB port is. It is on the right side, but it's just a small little space that has to be a plastic piece that has to be taken out of there. So those are my two comments. Thanks.
This is Jerry. I just wanted to make one comment really fast about the curb. Sometimes there is no curb. It's flat, and that's why that metal tip is so vital to having that truncated dome. You can hear the metal on metal before you're coming to an intersection. So sometimes corners, granted, there's no perfect corner, but typically there should be a crosswalk and it should be flat in many places.
That's true. And another thing is it depends on if you're walking along the curb, you know, with the curb on your side or toward the curb. And so that drop off that I was speaking of earlier, it's when you're walking toward the curb and it drops off in front, then it's going to hit the shaft. If it's along on your left or right side, then it's gonna drop down. It's gonna drop down. So one side will be higher than the other. So if you're doing the tap, you know, method, you're gonna feel that cane is lower on one side and higher on the other side. The street versus the curb or the sidewalk.